normally take prayer requests and that kind of thing, but I am going to skip that this morning. It's already 10 after. They said I could preach till 11:15. Amen. It's worth a shot. Trying to get somebody laughing. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 9. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace, your goodness, your love towards us. We do pray, Father, now that you cleanse us in the blood of Jesus Christ, that you'd pray our minds, our hearts, dear Father, to receive your word. Pray, Father, that you'd hide me behind Calvary's cross. Father, that you'd preach through me, use me as a vessel unto honor, dear Father. We pray for forgiveness of sin here, dear God. We pray that you'd forgive us and have us prepared to worship in your holiness, dear Lord. We do pray for Brother Jim as he's out traveling. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be able to teach Sunday school. And I pray, God, that you would help me not to say anything against your word, that you'd help me not to say anything that might grieve your spirit. And we pray, Father, that people would be prepared and ready to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this is probably something I'm guessing you've heard of. Amen. You got one of the better pastors in this church than around the country. Amen. So that's a real blessing. It's a great church. I appreciate the people, and I do appreciate the opportunity to attempt to teach Sunday school. 1 Chronicles chapter 9. We'll read a couple verses and get into the message. So all Israel were reckoned by genealogies, and behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgression. Now the first inhabitants that dwelt in their possession in the cities were the Israelites, the priests, Levites, and the Nethinims. And in Jerusalem dwelt of the children of Judah, and of the children of Benjamin, and of the children of Ephraim and of Manasseh, Uthai, the son of Abihud, the son of Omri, the son of Imri, the son of Bani, of the children of Pharez, the son of Judah. I want to focus there on verse 2. It says, now the first inhabitants that dwelt in their possession in their cities were the Israelites, the priests, Levites, and the Nethinims. Now, these Nethinims are not to be confused with the Nephthalims of the Old Testament. They're not giants. These are servants that were given unto the Levites to serve the Levites. I've read through it numerous times, and I had no idea what a Nethinim was. So I started studying out Nethinim. The Lord would not let me get away from it. And the funny thing is you can take it and make some practical application to Christians today. Now, we can get so doctrinally minded that we lose the part out to practically apply the Bible. Amen? And you can get so focused on what the Bible says and who it says it's to that you never apply anything to your life and you become no good for God anyway. So I'm going to give you some practical application, but I'm also going to show you some things about these Nephthalims. The first mention is here in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 2. Nephthalim means given, granted, a slave of the temple. It means to give. Now they're from the original Hivites who dwelt, if you'll turn with me back to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. They're from the Hivites that dwelt there in Gibeon. If you remember when they come over and they make a league with Joshua, and then when Joshua finds out who they are and where they were from, then he makes them hewers of wood and drawers of water. Joshua chapter 9, look at verse 2. That they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. So Joshua does make a league with them because he don't realize who they are. And if you'll turn over to verse 21, so he finds out who they are. In verse 21, and the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us? If you want to read the rest of it, you can. So these Nephthalims are most likely those Hivites that dwelt in Gibeon at that time, are the ones that came, made the league with Joshua, and Joshua makes them hewers of wood and drawers of water. So they're the first First Chronicles 9 said that the first inhabitants, and now this is after the return from Babylon, they're the first inhabitants of Jerusalem. And a funny thing about Nephilims is they never show up in singular form. It's never a Nethinim. It's the Nethinims. And I thought that was a weird thing because it's mentioned 18 times in 16 verses in the Bible, and not one time is it a singular Nethinim. And that kind of made me think, you know, these slaves, these ones that were given over to, it's not the same kind of slavery we would think of today. They were happy to be there and happy to serve the Levites, you know, and the Levites didn't mistreat them and beat them and that kind of thing. So it was a different kind of slavery. But the fact is you never seen them in singular form. They were always in plural. And that tells me right there that they worked together. And listen to me, Christian, in the church of God today, in the body of Christ today, we have to work together. Amen? We can't go out like rebels and work on our own. I've learned that from experience. Amen? You can't get out there and do anything on your own. If you don't have good fellowship and a good place to go, good people praying for you, you're never going to make it on your own. Amen? These Nephilims, they were in plural form all the time, always with other Nethinims. I keep saying Nephilim. It's Nethinim, amen? It's the Nethinims, always in plural. It says over there in Psalms 133, in verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." We were driving down the road the other day, and I'm listening to the kids. We have four children. You guys have seen them. If you haven't seen them, you've heard them. Amen. They run around kind of crazy. I'm listening to them, and they're just arguing and arguing, arguing. You know, even my daughter gets involved, and she hardly even talks. And they're just arguing, 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 biting back and forth. And I'm thinking, they're arguing over nothing. And God said, "That's just how my body is." You know, today in the body of Christ, all we do is argue and argue and bite and devour from the inside over nothing. Amen? We talk about one another. We can't wait to get out of church to down the pastor because he didn't do something that we thought he should have done. Yeah, amen. You ought to be thanking God that you got a good pastor. You ought to be doing whatever you can to get up under him and help him. Amen. Got to work together. He can't do it all on his own. Amen? He needs help. And he's the kind of guy that probably wouldn't ask you for your help. He'd probably be praying and asking God for help. And then God would speak to you and say, "Hey, you need to go help your pastor." Amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, Brother Paul told me to speak to you guys like family. Amen? So, I'm trying to do that, so don't think I'm trying to be tough or anything like that. The same way I talk to my family. Might not be a good thing, but, you know, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to look over around verse 10. The Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You guys know the Corinthian church was a carnal church, and they were always against one another. There's all kinds of divisions in the church. But I want you to read here in verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment." We're supposed to have the same mind and the same judgment, speaking the same things. If you want unity, amen, those are three things that have to happen. Speaking the same stuff with the same mind, same judgment. You say, "Well, we're all different." You're right, you're all different. But we've got a book that says the same thing, no matter how you look at it. Amen? And it gives the same judgments, no matter how you look at it. It says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 15, it's all good. We'll read 14 first. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." If you're saved here today, you're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And the only reason that we don't have the mind of Christ is because we don't spend enough time in this book. I guarantee you those Nethinims, amen, and we'll see in a little while, they were separated unto the law of God. And we have to live a life that's separated unto the law of God. Amen. You're allowed to say amen. I'll say it myself. Praise the Lord. Okay, look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. The Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for faith of the gospel." I thought it was an amazing thing to find these Nethinims were always together, striving to do the work of God, striving to serve those Levites. Amen. I understand we're all kings and priests. I understand that. But God's given you a place to serve under your pastor. Amen. And we should be working together to help him get the gospel out and do what God has given him a vision to do. That's a very important thing. And you say, why is that important? Because we live in a rebellious generation and a rebellious time period where not only the children and the middle-aged folks, even the older folks are in rebellion nowadays. You've got 60 and 70-year-old, 50, 60, 70-year-old women that are dressing like teenagers now, and you got teenagers trying to act like 30, 40, 50-year-old women. It's a messed up thing today. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you of the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Now, most likely that conversation's in the way you live. Now, there's two types of conversation in the Bible, the way you speak and the way you live. Amen? We should be holy in the way that we live. I guarantee you these Nethinims serving under the Levites were holy people. Amen? And we should be the same way. We should be holy in all manner of conversation. We should be working together, striving together. Next thing I notice here in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 about these Nethinims, and that's the only verse I'm going to use in this passage. I'm going to use the other verses that I found in the Bible about the Nethinims. They're always plural. And then it gives you a list of them in Ezra chapter 2. And for sake of time, I won't read the list. Ezra chapter 2, verses 43 through 58. And verses 68 through 70 talks about these Nethinims. But I do want you to see, look in verse Ezra chapter 2, verse 68. When it gets to the end of that, if you want to go back and read through it and let you know that it's talking about the Nethinims and that kind of thing. It says in verse 68, "And some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in his place. They gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work 60,000 drams of gold, 5,000 pound of silver, and 100 priest garments. So the priests and the Levites and some of the people and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims dwelt in their cities and all Israel in their cities." You know what it shows me? They were givers. And that's a funny thing. They all not only worked together, but they were givers. Now listen to me, Christian. I'm going to hit some things. I'm not just talking about givers of money. Those Nethinims gave themselves. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving what is that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God." I might have messed that up just a little bit. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice." Your body's not your own. It's God's body. Amen? Your money is not your own. It's God's money. Amen? The house, the car, all that stuff, it's not even yours. I thank God that He's given me borrowed time with my children. Amen? I thank God He allows us to have a nice vehicle, allows me to have a good wife and some loving kids. I thank God for that, but I have to remember that they're God's. They're not mine. Say, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. You know, the natural thing of man today in the church is, I surrender some. I surrender some. We don't give it all to the Lord anymore. We surrender the little stuff, the things that we think people will notice that we surrender. But you know what He wants? He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your body. He wants you holy and acceptable before God. Amen? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. About giving. These Nethinims were givers. You say, look, you don't even know us. Well, praise the Lord. Then anything that's said, you'll know it's of the Lord, right? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. That's not what I'm looking for. Yeah, maybe it is. No, it's 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. If you're going to give, amen, first you need to give yourself to the Lord. Because when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, amen, we throw our works into that fire, if it's not the right motive, if it's not the right thought pattern, if it's not for God, that stuff just burns up. Wood, hay, and stubble. But if you've already given yourself to God, when you give to God, it's going to mean something at the judgment seat of Christ. It says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. That's the grace of giving. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. It's a proof of your sincerity when you give. Amen. If you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Isn't it a funny thing that Jesus Christ was willing to become poor and gave himself for us? Shouldn't we do the same thing also, brethren, for one another? You know, I'm a hard person to love. I'll be the first to tell you. Amen. But the Bible commands us to love the brethren. You don't have to love me. Amen. God does. My wife does, I think. Amen. But we should love one another, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? Amen. Look at verse 13 and 14. So it's an example of Christ there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. 2 Corinthians 8 teaches us to give, amen. But the funny thing about this is a missionary church giving back to the home church. You don't see that today, do you? Amen. All right. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We should give ourselves. We should be able to give money, but that's not the most important thing. God wants our hearts. He wants our body. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Over and over, Paul tells us to yield our body, yield our members unto God. You know what would be a good thing? I like where Paul said, I die daily. It'd be a good thing to get up in the morning and say, Lord, today I want to die to my motives. I want to die to my beliefs. I want to die to everything about me, God, and I want to serve you to the fullest. I surrender all, God. It's all yours. You guide me and lead me today. And I guarantee you he'll do it. Amen? I guarantee it. Look at Romans chapter, well, we've already did Romans chapter 12. All right. So these nethinims, first of all, they work together. Amen? Second of all, they were givers. Now, if you turn with me to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7, look at verse 7. Now this is Artaxerxes. If you read back to verse 1, he's taken over as king of Persia. Ezra and these guys are going to go up to him and speak with him. Verse 7, and there went up some of the children of Israel and of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the 7th year of Artaxerxes of the king. They're mentioned every time with that group of people. And they went up right there with them. Does it say that they said anything about going up? You know the funny thing about the Nethinims? As they listened to their masters. They did what they were told. A lot of times we don't do that, do we, Christian, when God talks to us? They followed their masters. Look at Luke chapter 9 with me. Luke chapter 9. Preacher, this is Old Testament. Okay, then practically apply it. Amen? Luke chapter 9. Verse 23, you see here discipleship, amen, true discipleship. Verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels. Now you can't lose your salvation, we all know that. But boy, it sure would be a shame to stand before God and have to answer for some of the things we've done in the flesh. Some of the times he's told us to witness, amen. Some of the times he's told us to give. Some of the times he's told us to do something, we didn't listen. We just shunned him. You can't tell me each and every one of us have walked by somebody in a store. Walmart, let's use Walmart. Everybody knows Walmart. There's thousands of people in there and they need red lights, amen? So you're going down, I say driving down the aisle because you're kind of dodging people. So you're going down the aisle and God says, give them a track. You're like, turn, pushing the buggy, you know. And you turn around this way and then all of a sudden they walk back in front of you and God says, give them a track. And you're like, there's a guy in North Carolina. My wife and I lived up on the side of the mountain in North Carolina where I was born and raised. And there was a guy that would pick up our trash every day. And he was our landlord's brother. And I was praying at the time. Jonathan Edwards used to say, stamp eternity on the back of my eyelids. He'd pray that. That's a stupid prayer. Amen. For my sake. Maybe for him, he's a lot more spiritual. But I was praying God would make hell real to me. And this guy kept coming and God kept telling me to witness to him. And I would dodge it. I'd dodge it every single time. I'd see him come up, pick the trash up, and God say, go witness that guy. And I was like, I'll get him tomorrow, Lord. He'll be back, you know. So I'm driving down the road one day, and it comes down a big curvy hill, and comes around by this guy's house. He lived down here. There's a big field of corn here. He's standing out here by his tractor, and he lives up on the hill here, standing by his tractor, working on his tractor, and God says, you need to go witness to him. And I started slowing down, you know. He said, go witness to him. And I'm thinking, I'll get him when I come back. I drive off, and I come back. I forgot about it. The next day, I got a, yes. They knew it. They knew I was a preacher, and I knew we were trying to serve the Lord. It was his sister and her husband. They came up there and said, hey, I just wanted to let you know, and I think his name was John. John took his life last night, stuck a gun in his head, and pulled the trigger. God made hell real to me that time. I'll answer for that one day. That guy's in hell, and he didn't have a chance because I didn't tell him. God told me to tell him. Something we'll have to answer for one day. God tells us to witness to people for a reason. I guarantee these Nethinims, I guarantee they weren't scared to tell somebody about God. They followed their masters. They'd done what they were told. You know what it says in John chapter 10? John chapter 10 and verse 4. Is that where I want to be? Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Now Jesus speaks this parable, but he's talking about the sheep hearing his voice. You say, well, preacher, God never talks to me. Are you a sheep? Or are you just backslidden? Because if you're not in the book and you're not in prayer and trying to live right, you're probably not going to hear God when he speaks to you. And I guarantee you he's trying to speak. Because he has something for each and every one of us to do. Regardless of how old you are. You say, well, I'm too old to serve God. Moses was 80. Amen? When God called him to do something. Age isn't an excuse. A lot of times we sit on the pews on our blessed assurance and we never do nothing for God and we make excuses. The truth is we need to open our ears and do what God asks us to do. Amen? His sheep hear his voice. If you look there in verse, John chapter 10, look in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that a great verse for eternal security? No man can pluck you out of his hand. Was it Philippians 1:6? Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Nobody can pluck you out of his hand. Amen? That's a great thing. So no matter what you do, you'll still go to heaven. Or what you don't do. But man, wouldn't it sure be a blessing to stand before God and have something to give back to him? The one that gave his all for you, that gave his life and shed his blood and died for you. The one that still has grace and mercy with you every day because you fail him. We all fail him. Amen? He's still there. Well, that's a good father. He's a good God. John chapter 12, verse 26. I'll just read you a few of these. I won't finish this today. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Are you following God today? Are you doing what he told you to do? Are you doing your best? That's what it said about Mary. She's done her best, right? Are you doing your best for God? Or are we like most Christians? Are we doing our best for ourselves? Amen? It's real easy to live life for ourselves. It's not so easy to live life for Christ. Okay. Praise the Lord. Everybody here lives for God. Maybe I'm the only failure here. Amen? You got any questions at the end of the service? You better ask me about failures and fallings. Amen? Because that's about all I know about. Other than that, I don't know anything. All right. John chapter 21. These Nethinims followed their master. They done what they were told. John chapter 21. I love this one. John chapter 21, verse 21, Peter, man. You know, the Lord talks to Peter more than he does any of the other disciples, I think. He says, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, 21:21, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know what we do as Christians today? Oh, so-and-so ain't doing nothing. Right? We're a little bit better than they are. You know what Jesus says? Don't worry about what that man's doing or that woman's doing. Follow thou me. You want something to put in the scales, amen? Put Jesus Christ in the scales. Put yourself in the other scale. Amen? Well, let's see if you can balance that one out. You say, well, you're stupid. Your mom dresses you funny. Well, praise the Lord. Amen? I don't like you. Well, I look at myself and I don't like me either. Amen? Amen. But God's good. He's worth serving. These Nethinims followed their master. Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to do what you're supposed to do? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. See what Paul says about it. Philippians chapter 3. I like this attitude. Hope I can reach this one day. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Talking about the resurrection of the dead. Just pay attention to the word. And not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I press towards the mark. Now, Christian, I know you're weary. And I know there's some of you here going through things right now. And you may be able to put on a mask. And you may be able to put on the clothes. And you may be able to put on the act. But the truth is, you're about ready to walk out the door. And you're about ready to quit on God. And you've got to press toward the mark. You've got to continue. Quit looking back. Listen to me. If you want to see somebody that God can use that's failed, you're seeing him right now. Amen? I've failed and I've fallen just as much as any other person. I stick with Paul when he says, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I still fail God daily. But listen to me. You have to keep going. Because there's somebody else that's watching you that as soon as you fall out and you quit, they're gone. And it becomes a domino effect. And then people start falling out. And one day you'll have to stand before God and answer that. Those of you with kids, you better step up in the household. Make sure that you're doing right in front of them, amen? Make sure that you're living the way you should be living. Because one day you're going to answer for that. It may be that your kid joins a gang, your kid gets into drugs, your kid gets into alcohol. Why? Because mom and dad wasn't living right. Now, sometimes you can't help it, amen? Sometimes you can live right and the kids go astray anyway. But the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. If you train him in the way that he should go and he departs, one day he'll come back. Amen? We've got to be vigilant. Be sober. For our adversary, the devil, roameth around seeking whom he may devour. These Nethinims, man, these are some good examples. They're always working together. They're always giving. They're following their masters. Look at Ezra chapter 8. Almost done, about 2 hours. 2 hours left, amen? I was preaching one time at a church and they came up to me and said, man, that was a long sermon. I said, wish I could have finished it. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, verse 17. And I sent them with the commandment unto Edo, and the chief. Now Ezra sent them out to Edo, and the chief at the place of Casiphia. And I told them that they should say unto Edo, and to his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place, Casiphia, they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. Now, Ezra's sent them out, his people, to go and talk to Edo and his Nethinims, all right? And the funny thing about that is I picture a slave there, or these people that are serving God and serving the Levites, I bet they were the first ones to receive the message. And they actually took the message to Edo. Now, I'm reading into it a little bit, amen? But the truth is, they were the ones that received the message. We're the ones that receive the message. Amen? The New Testament. We're the ones that receive the message. Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We received the message. You know what they did? They took that message to Edo. You know what we should be doing? We should be taking that message out. You know what we do? Have you ever seen somebody get bitter in church? I don't know anything. I know bitterness defileth many, amen, and I don't see any defilement here, so maybe there's nobody bitter here. But the truth is, has you ever seen somebody get so bitter, they study so hard, they think they know everything, amen, that the Bible has to offer, and they get really bitter because they study and they read all the time, but they have no outlet? They never tell anybody? So the next thing they do is they become critical, amen? And then they start pointing fingers at everybody else. Ain't that the same thing the Pharisees did? Ezra 18, look at verse 20. Also of the Nethinims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims, all of them were expressed by name. Now these guys are servants to the Levites. These guys were expressed by name. You know what I think is going to happen one day? When that trump sounds, I believe I'm going to hear, Adam, come up hither! I'm going to be expressed by name, amen? And one day, each and every one of us are going to get expressed by name. I believe God knows every single one of us, everything that's going on, every single hair on our head, amen? I believe He knows everything. And I believe one day He's going to call me out of here. Hallelujah. Nethinims didn't have that, amen? We do. Praise God for that. Man, that's a good thing. You say, I can't think of anything to be happy about. We're going to leave one day. Amen? Think of this. We don't have to go through the tribulation. Praise the Lord. We're getting out of here. Raptured out. That's a blessing. We get to be with Jesus Christ, the one that died for us and saved us. Amen? My goodness, if you can't be happy about that, man, I don't know what'll stir your grits. I don't even know if you eat grits in Indiana. But hallelujah, you better find something that stirs it up, amen? I think about a Nethinim. Now, I'm going to call you out, sister, and I hope you don't mind. I think about a Nethinim. I see Miss Donna here every evening, walking through the halls, cleaning up all the rooms. She's here till late in the evening, man. Boy, that's a Nethinim. My God, serving, just serving, doing what she can do. Here early in the morning, leaves late. Comes in on Saturday, clean. That's somebody you ought to be thankful for. Amen? I know there's a lot of you that do things I don't know anything about, but I see her. My God, what a blessing. You ever thank her? You ever walk by and say, hey, Miss Donna, I just want to thank you for this place being clean? Hallelujah. You ought to. I'm thankful. I got a bunch of heathen running around here. Amen? You guys let us, gracious enough to let us stay at the church and man, I'm glad that it's clean around here. They may try to pick something off the floor and eat it. We don't have the 5-second rule at our house. It's like 20 minutes, amen? All right. They were expressed by name. Now, Nehemiah chapter 3. For sake of time, I'm trying to finish this thing, man. I don't think I'm going to get through it, but I'm going to try to. Nehemiah chapter 3, these Nethinims. And verse 26, it says, moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate, toward the east, and the tower that lieth out. So I was looking at the east gate, where the Lord's going to come back, which is all concreted in and stuff's like right up here. And you come down south of that, and the water gate's down here. And I'm not sure where Ophel at. I know that means mount. And I know that in 2 Chronicles, I don't even know where it's at. 2 Chronicles 27 and 2 Chronicles 33. David goes over there and he builds these high walls and stuff there on Ophel. And I guess it's because the enemy was able to come in there a little bit better, and he fortifies that area. So I thought about this. These Nethinims are in a place that is fortified, man. They're in a place where they ain't got to worry about nobody attacking them. And that should be our walk with God, amen? We should be in a place where the walls are built up, amen? We don't just let everything in. You look at Nehemiah chapter 1, he comes in there and they tell him that the walls are burnt down, the gates are broken down, and he falls down and cries, man. Cries out to the Lord because the walls were broken down. And in the body of Christ today, the walls are broken down, man. We're just like Israel back there putting the Ark of God on a new cart, and we're trying to drive it. You go into churches, contemporary music. You go into churches, man, everybody's dressed like the world, living like the world, trying to bring the world in and make the church like the world. Wicked, man. Wicked. And we wonder why God don't move like he used to. I understand God's not going to have a revival of the nation. He's not dealing with nation right now. He's dealing with individuals. But the fact is, you can have a revival in your life and in your family if you live right and do right. Amen? Amen. People make fun of the way I dress all the time. Praise the Lord. I'm glad they do. Because if I looked like them and acted like them, the world would receive its own. If there isn't somebody you can point out that dislikes you, you're probably not doing something right. You can tell a good man or woman by their enemies, amen? And I got a lot of them. Hallelujah. Dogs and babies are all that like me. Amen. That the song leader, man, that little baby he carries around, their new baby, their bright eyes. Man, every time she sees me, she's like, I was like, well, praise the Lord. Because they can tell, man, babies and dogs, right? Yeah. So they lived in Ophel in the water gate. Now the water gate's a gate or valve by which a flow of water is permitted or prevented or regulate. Now they were bringing water into the Levites. And that's what we're supposed to do. And washing by the water of the word, isn't it? Amen. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Shouldn't we be taking out the word and bringing it into other folks? Amen. We got to quit being selfish Christians, man. I know it's real easy to focus inwardly on ourselves and our families, but that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is everybody else. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Jesus Christ. He's the one that died. Amen. Amen. I didn't come to hear this, preacher. Well, praise the Lord. Neither did I. I had to receive the message before I gave it out. I've been repenting all night. See, you look tired, man. I've been up all night about this message. Amen. I won't go through. You can go to Luke chapter 16. You remember the rich man in hell? Remember what he wanted? He wanted water. Amen? There are people out there on their way to hell, and you know what they want? They want water. They're looking for something different than what the world's chewed them up, spit them out. They're looking for something different. And they're looking at us, and they're saying, oh, there's something about them. And then they watch us, and then they see us act just like they do, and they're like, well, don't need nothing there. Amen? Listen to me. If you're unsaved today, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you're unsaved and on your way to hell today, you're looking for something and you can't figure it out. Let me tell you who it is. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, amen, you need Him. I know you keep trying to fill it with drugs and alcohol and everything else you can think of. This world is so fixated on pornography and fixated on nakedness. You know what we need? We need a good washing by the Word. We need Jesus Christ. If you're unsaved today, listen. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confessions made unto salvation. Somebody said, I don't have to call. Somebody said, I don't have to believe. Somebody said, I don't have to repent. I don't care what somebody said. Amen? Turn from your sin, turn to Jesus Christ, and ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you your sins and save your soul. Just ask Him. The good thing about it is when you ask Him, He's like, okay. Sure, here, come on. I've been sitting here with my hand out this whole time. All you got to do is ask. That's a good thing about Jesus Christ, man. He's so good. Such a blessing. I don't know when they stop, but it says 5 minutes. So I'm going to go 5 more minutes. Amen? Nehemiah chapter 7. I'm going to try to rush through it. Nehemiah chapter 7. And it gives you a list in Nehemiah chapter 7. You can see them again in 46, in verse 60, in verse 73. It says, they completed what was started. They finished the wall. These Nethinim stayed there and they done what they were supposed to do until the wall was finished. Isn't it about time we as Christians start finishing what we start? My God, man. We give up on the Lord at the drop of a hat. All we have to do is see a good movie, right? And the next thing you know, we're turning and running from God. Just finish what you start. He's not going to finish. He's not going to quit on you. Amen. He's going to finish what He started in you. All right. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28. I'm going to finish this. Amen. I'm bound and determined. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, and the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands under the law of God. They separated themselves. And you say, why? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And if you defile this body, you grieve the Holy Spirit. It's His temple. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll give you one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, that's more than one verse, but I'll give you one chapter. How about that? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He says, come on out from them. Come live for me. Come follow me. Come on, Christians. Isn't it about time we get right? We're going, I'm going to stop there. I've got a couple more, but I'm not going to finish it up. Shouldn't we be more like the Nethinims? I think they were a great example in the Bible. And I think if you take some of the things they've done and apply it practically to yourself, you'll find yourself living for God. If you would, if you'd all stand with me. Heads bowed, please. I'm going to give you the opportunity, amen? All heads bowed. While we're praying. Now, Christians, first of all to you, is there anybody here that notice that they're not living the way they should be living? I just want to pray for you, amen? Just raise your hand. Just a little prayer. The altar is open, amen. Your heart's not completely right. Your mind's not completely right. You hadn't been setting the example. The altar's open. I want to ask now, if there's anybody in this auditorium that's unsaved, if you don't know that you know that you know, if you died today, that if you died today where you'd go, I'd just like you to slip your hand up. I won't come to you. I won't bother you. I just want to pray for you. Nobody here like that? Nobody here like that? If you're unsaved, listen, there's plenty of people here that would love to show you in the Bible how to be saved. You can catch any woman, any man here and ask them, and they will show you in the Bible how to be saved. Now, Christians, today's the day. The altar's open, and if God has dealt with you about anything, you should ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to help you to be more like the Nethinims and to walk for Him. Father, we do thank You, God, for Your mercy, Your grace, Your goodness. I do thank You, God, that You showed me I need to be more like the Nethinims, God, and keep my mouth shut and follow You and give to You and give myself to You, Lord God. And I pray that You showed everyone in here, God, that should be more like the Nethinims. I pray if there's anyone that's unsaved, God, and You're drawing me towards that thing, I know there's someone here. I pray, Father, that You deal with their hearts and minds. Maybe they'd stay in the service, God. You'd give pastor the opportunity to mention Jesus Christ and His salvation. That they would get saved before they leave this place today, dear Father. I pray You wouldn't allow them out the doors, God, not to turn Your back on You one more time. And Father, for all these Christians that are asking for prayer and asking You to forgive them, God, I pray You'd hear them and help them. Help me. Help us to work together and draw closer to You. And we do thank You for this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.